before my diagnosis, I had noticed a lump that wasn't unlike another solid piece of tissue in my breast. And so, having been reassured by a GP that there was nothing untoward with the original mass or whatever it was, I gaily went along not thinking too much about this other thing. And so I went to the GP, who referred me straight away for a mammogram. And so I went along to the hospital to the mammogram. I went on my own because I didn't want to worry my family if there was nothing to worry them for. So I went along and I had the mammogram. And then immediately afterwards I saw the consultant radiologist who did the ultrasound. And while I was on the table there, she took tissue for biopsies. And during that consultation, the staff were organising for me to have an MRI the following day. And then the day after that, I was due to see the surgeon. Whilst I was in the ultrasound, having the biopsies taken, I was aware that it was quite serious, and the consultant indicated to me that it was likely to be cancer. So that was quite worrying, obviously. I felt fine. I felt like I was coping at that time, even though I know I was crying. And I was aware that the radiographer was in the room where I was, and therefore I was worried that the other patients in the waiting room weren't having their mammograms. But I, at that time, as I say, even though it was emotional, I was fine in myself, really. It's a very odd thing to say, but I was fine. I wasn't crying all the time. You know, it's a bit like shock, isn't it, when you cry but you're smiling. So the diagnosis was confirmed 2 days after my mammogram and ultrasound by the surgeon, who told me, this is what you've got, this is how we're going to treat you, and this is what I expect to be saying to you in a year's time from now. And after that, the dark places that I had been to in those couple of days, I was not going to on such a regular basis. So that evening, after the ultrasound, I went home and I can remember sitting on my bed, looking around, thinking about what was in my house, what's in my garden, and I must get my house in order, as it were, because I might not be here at Christmas, you know, worst case scenario. And then, because I had no idea at that point how things were going to go, having not seen the surgeon or received the diagnosis. And then, you know, in the next breath, it would be, oh, get a grip, you know. If you're going to go, it might not be that quick. And it's a very difficult thing to explain. And then the other thing, of course, you know, oh, where else has it gone? And has it gone anywhere else? You know, how can it be that big and have not gone anywhere else? So, yes, I did go to some very dark places and then came back again on this roller coaster of dread and hope until I saw that surgeon. And I just believed him, accepted it, and decided that I must go for it, because, you do not have, you do have another choice, but that wasn't mine. So I then had chemotherapy, followed by surgery, followed by radiotherapy, and followed by Herceptin. And before my surgery, I think I was started tamoxifen. So the chemotherapy I had was what they call FECT, which was three treatments of a combination of drugs, the letters FEC, and then Taxol or Taxotere on its own for three treatments. The treatments were 3 weeks apart. They were administered in the hospital in a suite consisting of about six chairs. It became a social experience. I didn't suffer any real side effects while it was going through me, compared to other things that have happened to me. It wasn't really a huge deal. When I'm asked what the drugs consist of, I have absolutely no idea, except that they're poison. They knock out probably every thing that keeps you going. Every cell in your body will be affected by it at one time or another during this treatment, of course, because that's why they give it to you, to kill this cancer. But in order to kill the cancer, they have to kill other healthy parts of you as well. And basically, it's poison. The steroid I had with the FEC part of the treatment, which was the first three, that kicked in, I think, on the Sunday night, Monday morning. And that would have me gradually going on a high until the Thursday evening. I would feel like I was walking on air. I would have some kind of motion thing, so it would have been difficult for me to drive. And I felt quite bloated. Of course, these might have been effects of the actual chemo, but I put them down to the steroids. And I would get this high where I just, you know, you're just buzzing, you can't stop, and it's very difficult to sleep. And then on the Thursday night, about 9 o'clock, it would reach a crescendo where you think, oh, I really can't cope with this anymore, you know, I just need to even just lie down. I'm lying down and I'm still whirring. And then all of a sudden, as fast as it came, it would just disappear. And the Friday morning, I would feel fine. And then the second chemo drug, which was the Taxotere, I think, that affected me in a different way because the steroids were administered differently. So I had to start the steroids earlier and they didn't go on for so long. That drug affected me probably Monday, so I would have a good weekend. And then on the Monday, about lunchtime, I would just want to lie down, couldn't do anything. And that was the lethargy that people talk about, where you actually can't do anything even if you want to. And so you might as well just let it take over and go with it. And, you know, if something needs to, you know, unless it's really, really serious, just let it go, because there is nothing that you can do about it. While I was receiving chemo over that period of time, from, I think, not long after the first treatment, it seemed to me there was a difference in the way that I could feel my lump. And over the course of the chemo, I was aware that it was shrinking. They give you an MRI halfway through to see how it's responding to the drug. And true enough, it had shrunk. So that was good news. So the surgery consisted of, this is how I describe it, they take the nipple off, and through the hole that they've made, they excavate the breast, take all the tissue out, and they take a strip of, or for me, they took a strip of skin from my back, underneath effectively my bra strap, and they then pull some of the muscle, your pulling muscle in your back, and they pull it through from underneath your arm, through and across the inside of your breast, and attach it there. So that creates a form. And underneath that, I have an implant. I also have a slight incision under my armpit because they needed some more room. My nipple probably wasn't big enough. And of course, they took my lymph nodes from there as well. And then in time, they will generate a nipple out of some other skin that is taken, I think, from the groin. And then they will tattoo that to make it look just like the other one. And I've seen previous examples, and they look very good. So approximately 8 weeks after my operation, I had radiotherapy, which consisted of 3 weeks every day. Not very long, a few seconds in, I think, three places. But it was the idea of the radiotherapy that was the thing that caused me most upset, which is really strange. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to tell anybody that I was having it. Every time I did talk about it, I got quite emotional. And I still don't know why that happens, but it happens. Still happens when I talk about it, not so much, but it still happens. And I think maybe it's to do with the fact that you're on your own in that room with that machine, and if anything is going wrong with that machine, you don't know it. And it was just completely alien to me, and I really didn't enjoy that part of it. And that's all. I'm swimming. I've been told I can run. Just make sure I don't bounce around too much. Have a good sports bra. And generally, I'm getting on with everything, really, that I used to do before. I am stiff in my shoulder. It comes and goes. I have good days and bad days. Some days I won't notice it. Some days it will be there all day. But I do my exercises, and I try and do just as much as I was before, if not, you know, I mean, I'm not running huge different distances, but I have started back out slowly. The main difference in my view of my body is the fact that I put on quite a bit of weight over the course of the chemotherapy treatment, really. The second drug, which was probably due to the fact that I wasn't so mobile as I had been before and not so active. I am trying to address that now, but it's very difficult because once it's on, it takes an age to get off. But as far as my breast is concerned, it really doesn't look any different with a bra on. It really doesn't look any different with a bra off, except that it doesn't have a nipple. It just has a little round circle thing with a scar around it, you know, which is fading. You expect it, or I expected it, to be this alien thing, but actually, because the reconstruction is from within and they didn't take any of my skin away, the form from the outside is still me. And so I'm not self-conscious about my breast in any way at all. I think I would say that I am positive because the professionals gave me a positive outlook. If it had been the other way, I really don't know how I would be now. I have always got on with things in life, stressful or otherwise, because they need to be got on with. You know, you just have to do whatever comes your way, really. Last year, I might have not thought too much about the future, and I still am quite reserved about thinking about the future, because there's this little bit of maybe it's not real, you know, and don't take it all for granted because it might not be. So my prognosis, I believe, is good, but there's, you know, I could get run over by a bus tomorrow. I tend not to get too wound up about things that I might have before. I don't believe that outwardly I'm any different, but inwardly I feel I'm more reserved.